Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Well, folks, it's now or never, right? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you trying to get, you know, stretched and prepared for this marathon? Well, I can tell you that the marathon, when that gun fires, and it's firing very soon, we only have so much time to do this. And as you understand the cycle, there is this constant cycle of both news and the constant cycle of elections. Our elections is our process of getting our Republican form of government. Have you lost faith? Have you lost hope in our Republican form of government? Well, we get what we, you know, we reap what we sow. There's the adage. We reap what we sow, and we have sowed, I'll just say, perversion and subversion for years and years within our education system. So I'm kind of going to get into that because this has to do with some feedback and so forth, but because it's Feedback Friday, and I appreciate, I'm sorry, I'm going to share this great laugh I have with you, something that I just found absolutely comical. It just happened the other day, and I didn't have time to necessarily get into it because it actually happened after my last show. And so, when we committed the last show to go. And so you're going to love this, folks. I mean, seriously, you're going to love it. So stay tuned because there was an overwhelming amount of feedback. And as I look at it, I'm not sure because I honestly think that this wasn't a mistake in identity, but it's good. It's really good. So as you know, the show is sponsored by RepublicReview.org as well as ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. You're listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and the academic evidence-based solutions. Don't forget that we actually have very specific products or companies that I stand behind or I endorse these folks because I know these folks are patriots, and I think that they'll always make things right and they'll do everything they can within their power to help you. If you're looking for help financially, Gary Smith with Fortitude Financial Coaching. His contact information is on the ReclaimingTheRepublic.org website, so go check it out. And as well as our free Constitution classes, ConstitutionEducation.us, that's actually Keith Broder's, and he's taking that into Florida and the Florida education system. So take a look at that, and then you may have an opportunity to actually start sharing, you know, these classes and education. Now, I actually have very educational videos, but my videos are more marketing than they are educational. Because what I'm trying to do, if you go look at the videos on Reclaiming the Republic YouTube channel, you will find that those videos really take a very hot issue that is completely misconstrued in today's paradigm as to, you know, the Department of Transportation. The fact is we had three presidents veto Congress's attempts to try to create one, and yet we still have one without an amendment. And the invasion and what to do about the invasion and so forth and so on. So those videos you can use to help both help people understand and help place context to these very specific problems or bad paradigms. And so if you're looking for education, we're actually going to be coming up with videos. And I'm hoping because I've been promised by a very good man that I have full faith in that we'll get there, that we're going to start finding the time to do these videos and these video content. So with that, we also have Timber Nation. If you are looking for hardwood furnishings, by all means, give Timber Nation a call. And radio dust covers, which will actually help protect your investment in electronics and equipment. Check it out. And as a matter of fact, if you need something to be protected that's beyond just electrical or what have you, give Radio Dust Covers a call and or send them an email, and I'll bet you anything they'll be happy to create a cover for you. As long as it's an indoor. I don't think they do outdoor covers, so let's be realistic. I don't think they'll do a barbecue cover for you. They may, but, you know, they'd probably be pretty costly. But anywho, we also have Add Local. We'd highly recommend, if you are getting organized, you're starting to create a constitutional county for your county in your state, then you may want to actually create an email listing for that county, you know, for the organization, for your unorganized militia, and that way you can actually, you know, start utilizing a mail service that you can grow into, as well as a domain and everything else. And I, you know, giving people that type of resource and that form of communication really takes you to the next level of being organized. So by all means, and by the way, for any of you that, you know, do send me an email, do not think that I actually send out announcements and broad-scoped emails. The only broad-scoped emails I send out to groups is your state legislators, and those are the constitutional minutes. That's it. I don't have newsletters, nor do I want to actually create that responsibility. I, in working with and talking to the Red State Talk Radio, when they're ready to really pull the trigger on doing the constitutional corner or something like that for the Red State Talk Radio newsletter, then I've told them, just let me know, and I'll make sure that I come up with a small, if it's possible. I tend to write a lot, so it takes me a lot of words to say what really needs to be said, and I just don't have what Madison was surely one of the best in being concise and succinct. And so anyway, maybe that's what's keeping the constitutional corner out of the newsletter. I don't know. Anywho, we have a comment line, 425-270-5416. And I hope my progressive friend who constantly justifies why he has to vote Democrat is listening. So with that, let's just kind of leap into the Feedback Friday. And so one of the things, and this is, I'm going to lead with the top story. You know, most news stations and anybody that's in marketing will tell you you want to have the top story last, but this is so good. I got a phone call, and actually, I didn't pick up the phone call. I didn't even hear it. I just noticed that somebody had called the office line, and so I, you know, go, oh, what is this number? And I looked up the number, and it actually happened to come from Representative John Crawford, Crawford from the state of Tennessee. He's a state representative. And I go, wow, this is interesting. Maybe he's responding to my constitutional minutes, because I'm hitting them hard, folks, regarding the constitutional minutes. And so I, you know, didn't have time at the time to call, and it was kind of late in the day anyway. So I called the next day after I did the show. And so, you know, I had this kind of short conversation. And it actually, I thought it was going to be a short conversation, because I didn't think I was going to get the representative, because they're in session. And so I figured I'd just talk to the receptionist and let her know, or that person know, that they could, you know, he can give me a call later at any time. And all of a sudden, she just starts chewing me out. And she says, are you the one sending all these emails? And I said, you mean the constitutional minutes emails? And she goes, yeah, that's it. And I go, yes, I am. And she goes, well, we don't need these types of things. You're inciting, you know, really hostile behavior. And I'm paraphrasing, because I really couldn't put it. I wish I would have recorded the phone call. And so I missed my opportunity. But anywho, she just kept on telling me that their office was being basically overran by emails and calls from people that are absolutely upset with the fact that, you know, Representative Cawthorn isn't standing behind the Constitution and so forth. And she really didn't get into the very specific issue, such as the lawsuit that I'm, you know, demanding that the state legislators step up as their obligation and their legal obligation in supporting the Constitution. They must step up and demand that their attorney general support this lawsuit in forcing Congress to do what they should have done on January 6th, 2020. So anyway, she just keeps on trying to, you know, let's just say, accuse me of being the problem. And she, and I told her, do you know anything about the Constitution? Then she asks me, are you a lawyer? So I had to laugh and I said, are you kidding me? I wouldn't sully my name with that profession. That profession does not have a lot of credibility. You know that. I mean, there's very few lawyers that are worth their salt in understanding the Constitution and protecting it. Very few. And she said, well, then I'm not going to talk to you. And I go, well, you called me, and I'm just letting you know that if the good representative wants to call me. And it went on even longer because she just kept on saying, I've worked. She told me that she had worked in as a receptionist for or an aide for representatives for the, over 20 years in Tennessee. And she had never been talked to with such vim and disdain as she had over these past couple of weeks from all of these callers and emails. We're running out of time, so I'll finish this up when we come back from the break. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so anyway, as you know, this conversation really went a while. And at that point, I realized that maybe, you know, I was being too defensive. But bottom line, I kind of said, you know what? There's no point in my arguing and wrestling with you. If you want to know whether I'm going to stop sending emails, that's not going to happen. If you want to know if I'm going to tell my audience not to hold their public servants and government accountable, that will never happen as long as patriots and Americans are alive and well in this nation. And so, you know, if your representative, your boss, wants to actually have a conversation, he's more than welcome. I have a national radio show. I explained to her, what we were trying to do and everything else. And all she wanted was so that she didn't have to answer the phones to irate people. And I'm going, wow, look at where we are. She's probably a conservative because this John Crawford is a Republican in Tennessee. So he's probably a very conservative Republican, but he just doesn't understand the Constitution. Or she definitely doesn't understand. Maybe she was just doing this outside of his knowledge. Either way, I said, I implore you to have your representative call, and I will set him straight if he has a problem with what I'm doing, and left it at that. But after I'd had that conversation, I started thinking also about, and I put it into context on my Reclaiming the Republic Take Action page, because if you go there, you'll actually see there's a David Madison Cawthorn, C-A-W-T-H-O-R-N, who is a representative in North Carolina, not Tennessee. And this is Crawford and Cawthorn. I go, could it possibly be somebody heard and said, hey, that's my representative, and just leaped to the conclusion that they just misheard me? And if that's the case, then I have to laugh, because the whole point with David Madison Cawthorn of North Carolina, he was elected in a special election last year, folks, after January 6th. And come to find out, Congress found out that he was a participant, a patriot, at the January 6th rally, protest, whatever you want to call it. And so they're trying to actually have him removed as one who participated in an insurgency. And they're basically trying to classify the January 6th act as an insurgent act. And to be clear, folks, you understand, because I go through this painstakingly, you have a right to protest government. You have a right to petition them very specifically with that protest. And you don't have a right to actually go and block traffic and commerce and all these other things, but you have a First Amendment right to protest them via petition. And so had the January 6th folks been very clear, but see, the problem is that there's this mix-up. Let's just call it that. There's this mix-up, unknowing mix-up that has occurred by by our education system, where people have basically replace the First Amendment petition with this right to go out and protest out in the streets. So had the January 6th protest actually had a formal petition like we did the day before, because you remember, go back from December 18th to the January 5th and 6th and so forth. If you listen to those shows in my archives for January 2019, or actually 2020 and 2021, those, the end of December and the beginning of January, I place it in context for you very directly. We actually petitioned Congress. They were totally informed on the 5th. Prior to the 6th, they were told that this electoral college was unconstitutionally formed and must be discarded. So anyway, and every time I say this, when I put this, I'll actually use those specific words in Facebook. I have people coming back and saying, oh, so you're trying to get rid of the electoral college. And I go, what, how did you leap from what I said to that? And people just don't get it. We are triggered by keywords. Oh, this person doesn't want an electoral college. No, I want a constitutional electoral college. Technically, I don't even want the parties to be involved in the electoral college because they have no constitutional place. There's nowhere in the Constitution where we have granted the state legislatures to give your representation to the parties. As a matter of fact, I point this out to the Constitution Party all the time, that if you go and do the research in every county, you will probably find that the majority of the people in that county are independent, that they're not a part of one or the other party. That you'll find that because these are independent voters, they're not registered supporters of the party. then why is it and how is it that the state legislators believe that when we are supposed to choose our electors who represent us, the people, how they have made this leap of faith by granting the parties the power to choose when the Constitution clearly states that we are to elect our electors. We, the people, are to elect them. We're not supposed to just grant them and use a popular vote. We've been bamboozled on the Electoral College for so long that it's just pathetic, but I digress. This whole feedback was not necessarily about the Electoral College. It's about the lawsuit and everything else and that you need to contact. So I ask you, please, please bother me this coming week by continuing to call not just David or John Crawford in Tennessee, but call every single state representative that represents you and as many as you want to. And if you want to help me, so I've got some ideas for helping, and here's one of them. Send me an email for all of your state legislators, your House and your Senate. If you go look, I think on Reclaiming the Republic, on the Constitutional Minutes, at the very top, I tell you what states I'm getting, what states I am sending these emails to. If you live in a state that, you know, has, that is not listed there, that means that I'm not sending an email to your state. What I need you to do, now let me be very specific, don't send me a link to the website so that I can go one by one through 100 and some odd people in your state legislature to create an email listing. That takes hours to do. And I don't have hours to do that times, what is it? Let me see, 37 or 38 times. That's a lot of time. I mean, that would take me weeks and weeks. I wouldn't even have time to do my Constitutional Minutes, the show, or anything else. So if you want to help, then go do this. And as you put each of the emails in, you know, in a list, put it in a Word document or just a text editor is fine. But put the email list name, in other words, name@state.gov, or, you know, whatever it is, the email address, and then separate it with a semicolon, space, and then the next email list or the email address, the next email address. Use a semicolon. Why? Because a semicolon is a natural translation as a separator between one email address and another within Outlook, because that's what I use. And I can actually send an email to 200 legislators like Georgia, which Georgia has a lot. And I think it's New Hampshire has a whole bunch. I mean, that's like 500 or 400 and some odd up in New Hampshire. So, and by the way, when you start really looking at why some states have great representation and other states, it's really crap. I mean, look at California, New York. Look at how many people live there and how many people are representing. I mean, it's almost like Congress for California. I mean, California has a little bit better representation than Congress because Congress is almost a million. But, you know, it's ridiculous that one representative is actually going to represent or two in your, and it shouldn't be two. It should be one representative at a minimum for every county and one senator for every county, period, flat. There's no apportionment. Each county gets one senator. So in California's sake, I think let's say they have 50 counties, they'd have 50 senators. And then based on apportionment, not by the amount of seats in that capital, but based on how many people are citizens of the United States, so many citizens should be granted representation. And that way you actually, so, but every county is guaranteed a minimum of one. And this is how you can actually get to a point where we have accurate and reasonable representation, something that is truly representative of the people. Problem is that you have counties like Los Angeles County and San Bernardino and Sacramento and other places that are bastions for illegal aliens to entrench themselves. And so the counties like Kern County, you know, who has nothing but U.S. citizens, it probably ain't, because out in the desert, there's probably not a lot of illegal aliens because there's just not a lot of work out there and government handouts and so forth. So they do much better in the places where they have all sorts of services. And you'll find that there are going to be really some dark red counties that have zero illegal aliens, but they're not getting apportioned, or I should say, because the illegal aliens are being apportioned in the blue counties, well, then they're getting extra representation, because I believe it was something like 11 million invaders, not illegal aliens, let's call them invaders. There's 11 million invaders in California alone. And so, wow, I mean, that's a lot of representation. And they're stealing your government. And the government is allowing this to happen and enabling all of this bad behavior. This is how far we've gone. But anyway, we've got some more feedback regarding the federal government and some management over education and so forth. We'll be right back after this. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so there's all sorts of things out there that are in the news cycle and so forth. And so one of the pieces of feedback I got was regarding the critical race theory and using petitions and so forth. And it's kind of a delayed feedback because it's been a little while since we really talked about that. But here you go. The fact of the matter is, because let's really look at the root of the problem. And as a matter of fact, I've to start off this, my response, let me give you a quote from Milton Friedman, who in the book Free to Choose, which was written by Milton Friedman back in the early 80s. And in this book, he postulates the real process of how we can actually get rid of Social Security without hurting anybody. And back in those days, by the way, the people that were receiving Social Security were those who earned those benefits. Back in those days, you had to earn the benefits, and it was a retirement type of plan that you would get. And he recognized it as unconstitutional that we needed to do this. Well, so one of the things that they had been doing in the 80s, and it became a real big story, was Congress stole money out of the kitty of the Social Security, saying, we'll never spend all of this because they were looking at just how much money they had, because all the baby boomers were paying all these taxes. And so not only did they steal money out of the till, they actually started using that fund to actually start funding supposedly disabled children. I happen to know that there are children that are receiving a stipend from Social Security because they can't drink soda. The doctor says, oh, because they can't drink soda, they have this medical disability. And they're actually paying for all sorts of ludicrous things like that. And I'm going, are you kidding me? It is not a disability fund. It never should have been a disability fund. Anyway, what Milton Friedman actually said, and I want to quote him, he said, if you let the federal government take charge in managing the Sahara Desert, within 5 years, they would run out of sand. And, you know, that seems like one of those real pithy quotes or something like that that, you know, these conservative entertainers would come up with. And so that brilliant, brilliant comment. But let me put that into context for you. At the end of the 40s and the early 50s, teenage pregnancy was at a rate where people said, hey, and by the way, the rate actually wasn't increasing. It was pretty steady rate, but what ended up happening was the progressives understanding that they have already won the initial battle of the Scopes trial by starting to get rid of the Bible and teaching creation in the curriculum. The Bible still existed in the school, but they couldn't teach creation as a part of the curriculum for the source of mankind. That they had to start teaching evolution because that was the settled science. And as I've told you time and time again, and maybe, you know, the old Miller-Urey experiment, not all U-L, but it's Urey, E-U-R-E-Y. Go look it up. The Miller-Urey experiment actually proves that they didn't prove anything when you look at today's technology. But it is the one study that cited the fact that evolution is a settled science. And I'm telling you, they have lied and they've misrepresented that study, because that study only created protein goo. It did not create life, and nor did it create the code or the software that actually creates life, which is the DNA, the genomes, and those microbiological factors that have to exist in a cell for life to exist. So anyway, back to this sex education. So the presentation in the late 40s and early 50s kept on being, we've got to start teaching the children about responsible sex to reduce teenage pregnancy. They took a problem that wasn't really a bad problem, and they said, and put it under a microscope and go, look at how many children. Because they go by a nationwide study and they say, 100,000 babies or what, and as the population keeps on growing, then, the percentage of the population wasn't really changing that much, but they were putting it under a microscope and making it bigger and bigger by magnifying it as a issue that education needed to tackle. So finally, in the mid to late 50s, sexual education got into the education system. And you can actually tell the results of what the government had done. It's like running out of sand. Instead of reducing teenage pregnancy began to increase. We now live in a day where it's not just sex education, but it's sex dysphoria that they're teaching. They have gotten, and they use this little crack in the wall to come in, and actually they allowed them this little crack in the door to get their toe in. It's kind of like, I don't know what kind of fable it is. It may be Aesop's fables about the nose in the camel's tent. I don't think it is. I think it's a different type of fable. But if you go read that little story about the camel and getting its nose in the tent, you will realize that this is the danger every time you let government unconstitutionally come in and do something. So here they don't have any constitutional authority to have any dictates or even meddle with our education system whatsoever. And now they're actually teaching children to, and this has become a part of the curriculum, where children are being told and or suggested that they figure out what their sexual orientation is so that the school can protect them from their parents. And I am not kidding. They're actually in this position where they're being emboldened to go and experiment and figure out what they like. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. This has been the undermining of the family. They've been attacking the family in so many different ways. And a part of that, because a part of the sex education, a huge part of this the political agenda through this sex education was to legalize homosexual marriage. I mean, it wasn't just, see, they used this little toe of justification or rationalizing, oh, we've got to address teenage pregnancy. And as soon as they got that door open, next thing you know, we're 40 years later, actually, because it was in the 1990s when the homosexual marriage movement became huge. And if you think that this was just, you know, an educational snafu, it's not. Or a mistake. It wasn't. Because if you watch and you look at anybody that has gray hair can tell you about the television shows that were broadcasted in the 60s. In the late 60s, early 70s, there was a television show that was deliberately stereotyping anybody with a conservative mind by All in the Family. All in the Family was pro, you know, anti-racial, pro-open love, and all of these types of things. And in All in the Family, they had this interracial marriage. This was the first show that I know of, if I'm wrong, and there's another show, other than the movie, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, with Sidney Poitier, who unfortunately passed away. I mean, my wife just adored that man. And I thought the world of him as an actor and as a human being. I thought he was a good man. Anyway, so there had been these ideas, like To Kill a Mockingbird and all of these things, to help get rid of, and I thought that was the plan, was to actually get rid of racism or try to educate our way out of racism. But actually, it was the manipulation of accepting one paradigm to instantly introduce an evil paradigm to accept, which was love is love and all people should be able to get married, which was the whole scope of this. Because when you look at All in the Family, All in the Family had a spinoff called The Jeffersons. And there was that interracial couple in their TV show. And interracial couples were starting to become popular. It became the fad. And the reason I say that it wasn't about racism, because by the mid-70s, interracial couples were being wiped off of the entertainment screen. And what was being introduced was homosexual normalizing. Three's Company was the beginning of this, where Ritter claimed to be homosexual, but he wasn't. And eventually, they started indoctrinating more and more. And look at, by the time of the late 70s to 20 years later, this is how the education system has pushed us. And, you know, this overwhelming desire in America for people to say, oh, we really need to be more tolerant. That term tolerance is such an evil, maniacal tool. And as a matter of fact, Adam Weishaupt used that very specific word in his charter to be able to move forward the communist agenda, because he said, we will use tolerance and education to move forward this agenda. And voila. And that was in 1776, folks. Now, you may not be subscribing to this concept of a conspiratorial view of history, but I'm here to tell you that there have been people that have been working together. There have been people that have been, whether they knew it or not, they were prepped and prepared to go out and do, you know, some kind of, you know, work or what have you, to help espouse, to help, you know, preach these perverted ideas, because they thought this noble idea was good. It was creating equal for everything, which is a violation of the laws of nature, which is why we're going to actually get into that. So before we let me close on this, and we'll get into a couple more things, and then we're going to get into the laws of nature right after this.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so before we start, and what I want you to, this is how we need to approach everything from the progressives moving forward. I think we've over the past 60, 70, 80 years, I think we should have been learning a lesson, and we haven't. Every time they want to come in and say, we want to teach something in education. And as a matter of fact, it should not be the federal government at all. If we exercise Republic Review, I'm talking about the academics that say, this is what we need to teach in education. Because as they've clearly put these ideas out, the federal government embraces them and then rams them down our throats unconstitutionally because they have no authority to do so. We've got to take back the country with Republic Review. But moving forward, we have to stop allowing wholesale changes. What we have to do is we have to say, okay, you think that's a really good idea? Then let's do a case study before we start upsetting the cart, because we have empirical data that this has been working. And we've actually, because I truly believe that if we actually start putting, if we take back our education system, we take back our government and get our governments in compliance with the Constitution, that would mean that the education system would no longer be indoctrinating children and would no longer, you know, we'd be able to return back to the old curriculum and quality curriculum and look at the fruit of that effort and see how much better our society is, how children aren't becoming the next test tube or the next experiment for the progressives in their Bolshevik revolution and in, I'll just say, creating a worldly Sodom and Gomorrah. So what we have to do is we have to say, you know what, before you even introduce this as a wholesale change, we need to have, and we have to stress this, we need to have independent studies, not just one, two, or three. We need to have independent studies from different sectors and different sections of the nation and world to see how what you're suggesting, the ramifications of that. Because remember, folks, a tenet of science is this: results take time to measure. You want to introduce cigarette smoke, and it's never been done before in society. Well, okay, then you do a study with a few people before we introduce the smoking of tobacco, and you let them smoke. And then you find out what happens to them, and then we can create empirical data. And clearly, one will see all the different lung diseases, cancer, and everything else that occurs over all of these cases. Now, when we say a study, this means a study that actually spans a lifetime. It's just like homosexual marriage. But allowing a homosexual couple to adopt a child. This is why natural law is so important, because it is antithetical in natural law to allow something that is antithetical to society. If homosexuals cannot create children on their own, naturally, then we should not be endowing them and enabling them by giving them, or whether it be through the technologies of science or whether it be by a system of orphans, we should not be giving those children and handing them over to homosexual couples. It is tantamount to a destructive path, and it is antithetical to society's norm. I mean, if you can't procreate, you can't make children on your own, then those are the consequences of your decisions, and you must live with those consequences. Don't ask us to remove consequences. Get yourself right, go have a normal relationship and have a normal family and have children and be normal. Or if you want to be perverse, because what does perverse mean? By definition, it is abnormal. It is not the norm. It is outside the norm. And pretty soon, folks, heterosexuality will become the perverse idea because it will be less normal. It will be less embraced if we keep going down this path. In other words, our natural law will actually become obscured and perverted, because they will then think, well, that this is the this is the actual, enlightenment of society, to allow the carnal desires and to enable people to be able to engross themselves in this type of behavior. Remember, enlightenment is about discipline. Enlightenment is about the betterment of society. And how is our society becoming better if we're not introducing new children and educating? And believe me, folks, we do not have a population problem. As a matter of fact, there have been studies that were done back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and so forth that have been proving that we have more than enough agricultural land to feed the world. In America alone, we have shut down our agriculture because we're still able to feed ourselves. And look at how much subsidies, and look at how much land has been unconstitutionally purchased by billionaires, foreigners, as well as the BLM and federal government, and moving that land either to not produce food or for China to produce their own food and take it from us. Are you kidding me? This is how far we have gone. So, anyway, the last feedback I got was regarding some lawsuits, because I actually, have people coming back to me and saying, hey, the lawsuit, they're actually trying to confuse this lawsuit with all of the lawsuits regarding voter and election fraud and issues that have nothing to do with this lawsuit. So, folks, if you don't understand the lawsuit, go read the appeal. Go read the initial complaint to Congress. It is very specific in that initial complaint. It's down a bit. It's kind of in the middle of the page, on the petitions page. If you don't know, then email me and say, hey, where is the initial charges to Congress? Because in those charges, we clearly delineate that it was Congress who violated the Constitution by allowing an unconstitutional electoral college to be formed and vote in choosing the president. They should have said no, because they were notified that it was unconstitutionally formed. They could have easily verified the veracity of that and done the right thing, but they didn't. This is why we started off January 3rd telling you that if we make this issue a major campaign issue for all of your congressmen, and all of a sudden, so this way the news will actually start misreporting all of this, because as this grows, they will have to address it, but they will misreport it, and they will pervert what we're trying to do. But the reality is, anybody that is in that room will realize how we were duped and how the choosing of the president was stolen from the people in choosing our electors. This ought to teach everybody a lesson of how important it is to comply to the Constitution, and we've got to take the system back from the parties. Ergo, the only way we can kill this uniparty system, the Democrat-Republican Party alliance, the only way we can kill it is by you disassociating yourself with Republicans and demanding that your public servants be constitutionalist and becoming a part of the Constitution Party or the Independent American Party. I don't have any favorites there. As a matter of fact, I tell the Constitution Party and the Independent American Party folks all the time, whoever gets to the top of the mountain, as far as I'm concerned, whoever puts the rocks in the circle gets to control the campfire and the decorum of the fire. And if that doesn't make sense, you know, he who actually, you know, stakes their claim on moving their party to fully aligning with the Constitution, in other words, your platform is solely focused on compliance to the Constitution. We don't care about your mores and the feel-good stuff, because all of that stuff washes away and it goes away because the federal government has no business meddling with any of that stuff. And the fact of the matter is, as we start doing that, everybody will start getting it, because everybody will go, oh my gosh, it really isn't necessarily about teaching theology and making America, because we've already moved into a theological government, because it's a godless, secular government that is anti-Christian. We have a theological government which is anti-Christian. That's it. And how did that happen? And the solution isn't going back in the opposite direction of theology. The answer is going back into embracing the Constitution based on those principles and then learning why and how that is so important. And when you do, you'll actually see the divine hand of providence just, I mean, it'll start opening both in your mind, your heart, and in your lives. And it will also open America back to where individual liberty and individual sovereignty becomes the rule of the day. So with that, I got less than a minute. One of the other things I wanted to mention, because it is Feedback Friday and all of this is feedback, I did get some feedback from a person I have regular phone calls with. And the question or the concern was, is it too late? Is it too late for America to turn? And I look at, you know, George Washington. How many times did he think it was too late because he was cornered by the British in Boston? He was cornered by the British in New York, and the Lord gave him fog to be able to slip away to win the battle later. I believe that the Lord will bless us if we actually do what we need to do in taking back this country. There's no doubt in my mind. Have faith, my friends, and have hope. And I know that there are some of you that have reached out, and I thank all of you for taking the action and doing what you're doing. But I will address this because I don't have the time. But I know many of you really want to help. Email addresses, help breathing. I've got some of these things coming, but I will get more into how to help in our next episode. We'll start off with that, and then we're going to get into natural law and why natural law and the law of nature's God is so important. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.